when it comes to the word of God and the promises of God, the facts alone don't determine the result.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how we should respond when God's plans outgrow our perceptions.
The question you and I will always face is, are you going to believe the facts or are you going to believe the promise?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It's been said that the facts speak for themselves. But today, Dr. Evans explains why the facts don't always tell us the whole story as he explores how God's promises can rewrite our reality. Let's join him.
Today, I want to talk from the life of one of the great women of the Bible. Her name is Sarah. We're introduced to her in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. It says, Sarai was barren. She had no child. Sarah had a lot going for her, and I'll talk about in a second her change of name from Sarai to Sarah. But she had a lot going for her. She was married to a very successful man named Abram. The thing that caused Sarai to stand out was her beauty. The Bible declares that she was unusually beautiful. In fact, when we discover her here at the end of chapter 11, in the chapter 12, she is 65 years old. And yet the Bible declares that she was a knockout. In fact, you're going to see in a moment, at 90, men were still going crazy over her. This girl has got it going on. But there was one major missing element in her life. It says she was barren. She had no child. For a Jewish woman not to have a child was almost a curse. Her physical reality in the context of the Old Testament is a lot of folks' spiritual reality today. They may have a lot going for them, but the ability to house life isn't there. To have to simply exist because life is missing. The capacity to have it, to hold it, to incubate it, and to live it out just isn't there. You go through the routine and the motions, but barrenness, emptiness. And when you're 65 and haven't had a baby, you pretty much conclude you'll never have one. See, it's bad when you can't get pregnant, but it's worse when there's no hope. Because now, time is not on your side. She's 65 years old. And the author wants you to know she's barren. There are probably people here who've been barren for an extended period of time. That is, for an extended period of time, life has been missing. Perhaps you're characterized by loneliness because you're barren relationally. Perhaps you're characterized by defeat because you're barren in terms of your own success goals not yet having been reached. You say, well, how am I making a correlation between Sarah's barrenness and our lack of life? Because Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you fully. At 65 years old, God comes to Abraham, who's 75 years old. And that's very important. Don't lose track of the fact she's 65. Because between chapters 12 and 21, I'm getting ready to cover 25 years. She comes to her husband, who's 10 years older than her. And he says in chapter 12, verse 2, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, verse 2. And I'm going to make your name great. And you're going to be a blessing. And I'm going to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God pronounces a blessing on Abraham. He says, through you, a blessing is going to come to the whole world, and I'm making a promise to you that I'm going to do something special in your life. And what I'm going to do is I am going to give you a son. In chapter 15, verse 2, Abram is confused. He says, now, I'm childless. And and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram says, you've given me no offspring. Verse 3, one born of my own heir. But the Lord says in verse 4, oh no, but one will come forth from your body, and he shall be your heir. Now that's crazy, because he's 75 and Sarah is 65. So it's too late to expect life. Even though God says this, Sarah decides that evidently God does not understand biology. He's a little bit confused. He's lost contact with how this thing works. So she wants to do what many of us want to do. We want to help out God. Obviously, he needs help because he's talking crazy. Now, there's probably not a person in here who has not from time to time thought God was talking crazy. So she says, let me help God out. Abraham, we have a maid. She can get pregnant. So probably what God means is, you go into Hagar and you impregnate her, and that will be the child, because I can't have no baby. So in chapter 16, Abram's wife Sarah, verse 3, took Hagar the Egyptian her maid and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. Too many people in the kitchen. So now we got a conflict brewing because, watch this, Sarah wanted to help out God. In order to help out God, watch this, she went to a human solution to bring about a supernatural promise. One of the reasons why many of us are not experiencing the promises of God, and by the way, there are over 8,000 of them in the Bible. But the reason why so many of us seem to not realize the promises of God is we resort to human solutions to help out God. To help God out, because obviously God is not living in the real world where there's real barrenness and real lack of pregnancy and real life-challenging situations. And so we revert to a human way to bring about the desired result. Chapter 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. In the Bible, naming was more than just ascribing nomenclature. Naming had to do with creating a new identity. You name something because you wanted to create a new identity. The word Sarah means princess or noble woman. In other words, I'm going to make Sarah this noble princess. And she is going to, verse 16, be blessed. I'm going to give you a son by her. Then I will bless her. And she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. In other words, girl is going to be living large because I'm going to do something special with her. You know what he's giving Sarah? Her destiny. Well, Abraham hears this, verse 17. Stay with me now. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Abraham says, God, you are confused. In case you stop counting, I'm 100. Sarah couldn't get pregnant when she was 65. This is 25 years later. She is now 90 years old. If girlfriend can't have a baby at 65 and never got pregnant in all of her adult years, as long as we've been married, and she is now 90 years old, why in the world would you think, God, that that's a possibility now? Evidently, you really mean Ishmael. God says, no, verse 19, Sarah, your wife, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. All right, pop over to chapter 18 now. That's read in your hearing. God says in verse 9, where is Sarah, your wife? He says, there in the tent. He says, I'm going to return to you at this time next year. Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah was past childbearing, no more cycles. Sarah laughed to herself. Okay, now we got the laughing couple. Okay, now Abraham has already laughed. Sarah is now laughing. You got to be joking. But she laughs like we laugh when we hear things from God that doesn't make sense. It says she laughed to herself. I ain't gonna be in church laughing at God. God says to her, why did you laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. He said, oh yeah, you did. So whether you laugh aloud or whether you laugh silently, God knows you're laughing. And he raises the question, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Now watch this. There is a 25-year gap between the giving of the promise initially and the realization of the promise. There's a time gap. One of the major reasons why there is a time gap is the introduction of the flesh to try to mitigate, go around, or even bring about the promises of God. In other words, it's going to take 25 years for this promise to be realized, because the promise can only be realized when captured by faith. When the promise is not believed, the promise is automatically delayed. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, we got two things going here. We have the facts. I'm old, he cold. That's the facts. And we have the promise. And sometimes the facts cause us not to believe the promise. Now, don't get wrong. It's not that the facts weren't true. We're not talking about a lie. The facts were true. But when it comes to the word of God and the promises of God, the facts alone don't determine the result. Many of us are holding back the promises of God because we are believing the facts alone. The facts are not the promise. And there are 8,000 promises in the Bible. So God has to take us through differing scenarios, trial after trial, difficulty after difficulty, and God will wait as long as it takes for faith to give life. What faithlessness will do, and you, here's how you know you are faithless: when you are flesh full. You are faithless when you keep appealing to human means to bring about spiritual results. That means you have no faith. So then the facts have to solve your problem. But of course, there's nothing supernatural to give you the life you're looking for, the abundant life, the spiritual pregnancy that God wants to give you in your impossible situation. See, God is asking this question of everybody in the room: is there anything too difficult for me? Because everybody in this room at one time or another are going to face facts that make it look like God is crazy. Going to make it look like God does not know what he's doing. The facts are too crazy for me to ever think that this thing could be different.
Dr. Evans will talk about how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah and help us discover some applications to our own life when he continues our message in a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about the perfect follow-up resource for Tony's current teaching series, his brand new book, Your Comeback. Satan loves it when we get so focused on our failures that we feel too far gone for God. But whatever struggles you may be facing, there's a fresh start waiting for you, and this book explains how you can experience it. Request your copy online at tonyevans.org, and if you do that right away, we'll send it to you as our gift when you make any contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Large or small, the amount's up to you.
We just want to thank you for your faithfulness that makes this listener-supported program possible. In fact, if we hear from you right away, we'll also send you all 8 messages in Tony's current series, It's Not Too Late. This special offer runs out next week, so don't wait. Visit us today at tonyevans.org and make the arrangements. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open around the clock. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will get down to the best part of Sarah's story when he continues our message after this.
You know you have the gift of teaching, maybe even preaching. But you think, no, I could never serve that way. I'm no theologian. I don't know enough. Well, it's time to get equipped for your calling with the help of the Tony Evans Training Center. It's got online courses covering key concepts of the faith like prayer, evangelism, and spiritual warfare, and in-depth studies of books like James. The material is challenging, but Tony has recorded exclusive content to help you through it, and the online format lets you work at your own pace. And when questions come up, there's an online forum where you can get detailed answers. Whether you're preparing for ministry or just want to deepen your understanding of God's Word, the Tony Evans Training Center is the resource you need. A world of discovery. Anywhere, anytime.
Okay, I'm getting to the sermon now. That's all like the introduction. Okay, but it's a short sermon. Okay. Chapter 21. Now, we just swept through 25 years. Then, somebody say then. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Then, whenever you see then, you got to ask, when? After he opened and shut the wombs in Abimelech, after he did his pregnancy thing, after he pointed out to Sarah, I control whose wombs are open and whose wombs are closed and when they open and when they close. Then, after he had made his point to Sarah, she conceived and bore a son, verse 2, to Abraham, I like this, in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. We've been reading about doubt. We've been reading about flesh. We've been reading about human attempts that didn't work. And then God having to do things to engage faith in them so that he would be free to move. And the New Testament now picks up on that to teach us some very vital lessons. Turn your Bible to Romans 4, verse 16. Romans 4. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise, in this case of salvation, but the principle, the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants. The principle of God making a promise doesn't just apply to Abraham and Sarah. He says it applies to all their children, all the descendants. So you and I get in on this principle. Not only to those who are of the law, no, not just the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith in Abraham, who is the father of us all. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Abraham is your daddy, so this principle applies to you. He says in verse 18, it's going to get gooder. He says in verse 18, in hope against hope, having hope when there was no hope. Are you in a hopeless situation now? You see no hope, no light at the end of the tunnel. It says Abraham hoped against hope. He believed. When did he believe? He believed after God showed him his power so that he might become a father of many nations. That's a big dream. That's a big vision. That's a big plan that he was going to use Abraham for in his glory. According to that which he had spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now watch this, watch this. Without becoming weak in faith. Verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God. So one hand he's thinking about, okay, I'm 100 years old, about it. But God said, yeah, but I'm 100 years old. And everybody, yeah, but God said, but yeah, I'm 100 years old, but God said. So he's thinking about the situation, but then he's thinking about the promise. And it says, yet with respect to the promise, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, Now, wait a minute now. There's a question on the floor. If I'm thinking about my situation over here and it doesn't make sense, but then I think about the promise of God, how do I make my faith grow when I'm contemplating my problem over here? He tells you at the end of verse 20, he said, giving glory to God. He said, I thought about my problem, then I thought about his promise. Then I thought about my problem, then I thought about his promise. And I'm getting a headache. I thought about my problem, then I thought about his promise. And what took me over the hump is that when I thought about my problem, I gave glory to God, which took me to his promise. And his promise outgrew my problem when I got my praise on in spite of the dilemma that I faced. So it says, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. When he gave God glory, the promise overrode the problem. Now watch this. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah conceived. Genesis 21 says, then God kept his word and his promise to Sarah, and she conceived. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah conceived and became the mother of many nations. Now, the problem is she didn't conceive till she's 90 years old. So the natural question is, if I'm 90 years old and have a baby, how much time am I going to get to spend with it? If I'm 90 years old and getting pregnant, it's nice. I got 9 months of pregnancy. That's all nice. But I'm so old, I mean, I get to enjoy my baby. I'm 40 years old. I ain't married yet. I mean, I get to enjoy my husband. I'm this age and my career hasn't flourished yet. I mean, I get to enjoy my career. It's taking too long, God, for you to do what you're going to do. But the Bible says, somebody say the Bible says. The Bible says that Sarah died when she was 127 years old. Now, let me tell you why that's important to know. Sarah is the only woman in the Bible whose age is given at her death date. There is no other woman in the Bible who has her age written out at the point of her death. That's done for men, but it's done for no other woman but Sarah. Why? Because God wants you to know that even though it may look like it's taken a long time for him to come through with his promise, when he comes through, he gonna give you enough time to enjoy it. If you are 127 years old and you have a baby at 90, that means you get to enjoy that baby for 37 years. So for 37 years, she got to enjoy what it took a long time for her to have. But it only took that long because she went to the flesh rather than believing the promise of the word of God. It makes me remember Caleb. Caleb was 40 years old, but other folk messed him up. Other folks' unbelief left him hanging out there without being able to go into the promised land. 40 years later, they go into the promised land. Caleb says to Joshua, give me that mountain which the Lord promised me. He says, and just so you know, Joshua, even though it's got a 40-year delay in me getting a promise, I'm as strong now as when I was at 40. So even if other folk and their unbelief is messing you up, it won't control what God has for you and the time he gives you to enjoy his plan for your life. By leaving the flesh and applying to the spirit and believing God's promises more than the facts.
Dr. Tony Evans with some lessons from the life of Sarah. And you can review those lessons again by requesting a copy of today's message on CD or DVD. It's called Sarah, the Doubter God Used. Better yet, get a copy of Dr. Evans' current series, It's Not Too Late. It's a powerful 8-part look at why nobody's too far gone for God to use. And it's yours with our thanks when you make a donation of any size to help keep the alternative coming your way each day. And as I mentioned earlier, it'll come to you bundled with Tony's latest book, Your Comeback. Time is running out on this double offer, so don't wait. Drop by TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements. Members of our resource team are also standing by to help you at 1-800-800-3222. Call any time of the day or night. Again, 1-800-800-3222. On Monday, Dr. Evans explains why running from God carries some hidden costs as he takes a look at the life of Jonah. I hope you'll be back with us then. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.